Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts help us to live and love like you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you know me, one of the things that you would know is that I love all things Marvel. You know, Captain America and Captain Marvel and Iron Man and Thor. You get the point, right? But it wasn't always that way. When Disney Plus launched WandaVision in January of 2021, we were like so long into COVID at that point that my husband and I had watched every single other show, I think, humanly possible. And so after four episodes came out of WandaVision, I said, hey, let's give this a try. And in one night, we consumed all four episodes. It was amazing. And all of a sudden, I became this casual watcher of Marvel to what is going on here. Part of the problem was is that if you just watch WandaVision, it feels like you're entering into the end of a story. And I was sitting there asking question after question, and my husband graciously was like, we have to go back and watch that. I'm not telling you that answer over and over again. So our journey began in the timeline order with the Marvel Universe. This passage from the Gospel of John today feels a little bit like that, or a lot like that. If it was over your head and you felt like you were coming in the middle of the story, you were. You're not probably without reading the context before and after. It makes it really hard to understand that something bigger is going on. This prayer, right after this prayer ends, Jesus is betrayed and arrested. I imagine this scripture scene like the scene in one of those Marvel movies right before a big battle is about to happen, and that slow and serious instrumental music sets in. There's a drone that maybe starts out with like some landscape shots, and then it moves into this really intimate moment of Jesus with his disciples. At this point in the movie, I'd like make sure to turn on the subtitles because there's something mumbling that I can't understand, but I could through the subtitles because I want to hear what Jesus has to say at this final moment, his final words to his disciples. And so then we realize what Jesus is doing. He's praying. But not just any prayer. He starts praying for his disciples, those who had been with him through the thick and thin of his ministry, those he knew he would be leaving behind, those he loved and who loved him as well. Jesus prays that they will have wisdom, that they will be protected, that they will always stay near the truth that he has been preaching. This moment in the gospel serves as a final summary, in a sense, which was really common for Jewish writers. They often recorded a dying figure's final advice to their followers, lifting up important instructions and information for them. That's what this prayer is. This is what pulls Jesus' whole ministry and themes together throughout the gospel. It really is a beautiful, intimate moment that we get to encounter in our scripture for today. Because the disciples always had wanted Jesus to tell them about their Jesus's prayer life. They wanted to learn from and hear how Jesus interacted with God on a number of occasions, even saying, Lord, teach us how to pray. But in the shadows on this last night after the Last Supper, Jesus wasn't teaching them how to pray, but he was praying for them right in front of them, right? Maybe a little bit awkward or hard to hear when Jesus says in front of the disciples, but talking to God, I am no longer in this world, but they are. They must have been filled with confusion or grief, or they no doubt would have maybe clung closer to every word that Jesus was saying so that they could understand what was happening. Because pretty soon after that, Jesus's body would no longer be there. But we all know, right, on the other side, Jesus's body is very much here. We are the body of Christ. Teresa of Avila says, Christ has no body on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which the compassion of Christ looks on a hurting world. Yours are the feet with which he goes on doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless now. It's kind of a tall order, though, for the body of Christ, right? I often think that Jesus handed this whole entire ministry down to us, and I'm not really sure how capable we are, right? I mean, no offense to each and every one of you, but we're all a little broken, right? If we really admit it, we know that our lives fall to sin all too often. We know that it sometimes takes us forever to get it right, if we even ever get it right. We are too quick to judge, too quick to think of ourselves and our needs first. We're too quick not to love our neighbors, too quick to listen, to not listen. It's our human nature. But here is the good news. Jesus knew what our human nature was about. God knew that, and still they trusted us to do and accomplish God's mission in the world. So when Jesus prays these words, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I'm asking you to protect them from the evil ones. I could imagine myself stopping Jesus in the middle of a prayer if I was there and asking for more detail, more explanation, more of something about what this could mean for us going forward, carrying out God's mission. Because we do belong to the world more than we'd like to admit. We're in the world and we're of the world as best I can tell. I remember hearing a sermon at a Christian camp once when I was probably, I was in high school, and it was this really intense, I don't remember all the words that were said, but like the bottom line of it has stuck with me. You are in the world, but not of the world. How many of you have heard a sermon like that before, right? Yeah, that's a very common one. But as a high school student, I had no clue what that meant, right? Maybe as an adult, I have a hard time figuring out what that means sometime, right? I was trying not to then be materialistic. I was trying only to think holy thoughts. I was trying to talk about my faith with others, trying to pray for more than 2 minutes at a time without getting distracted. But guess what? I failed time and time and time again. It didn't make sense to me in the world and of it. I just can't seem to disentangle the two. Although I'm certain the message came from Romans, now as an adult, as I have more context to Scripture, I think that maybe it could have also been from John. But this is what I realize in it now. Jesus did not order this as a commandment, right? Be in the world, but not of the world. He wasn't even talking directly to the disciples. He was praying to God, right? He was praying. And when I fall on my knees and I pray to talk to God and I think of all of those different things about how can I complete God's mission in this world, it becomes more of this humble confession about how tied I am to the world instead of where God would lead me. I lay my failures at God's heart and at the foot of Jesus' cross. And then from that point, I begin to pray that maybe I can be different. Maybe I can show God's love in a way. So one of the things that I want us to wrestle with today is, what does that mean? To not belong to this world, all the while still being bound to this world by the same limits that everyone else has. I often turn to poetry because I think it's a beautiful way to explore things on many different levels. And so Mary Oliver has this poem called Drifting, and the first lines go like this. I was enjoying everything. The rain, the path, wherever it was taking me, the earth roots beginning to stir. I didn't intend to start thinking about God. It just happened. How God or gods are invisible, quite understandably, but holiness is visible entirely. Holiness is visible entirely. So what if not belonging to the world means to simply be practiced in seeing holiness around us? Because holiness is visible entirely. During seminary, one of the requirements for all seminarians is that they have to do a unit of CPE, clinical pastoral education. So I spent 12 whole weeks of a summer as a chaplain at Carolina Medical Center in downtown Charlotte. I really did learn a lot about myself and about pastoral care in those 12 weeks. But one of the things that will stick with me forever, and I continuously think about, is this fact. Did you know that hospitals with visible and active chaplaincy teams have less staff turnover, specifically in their ER departments, higher patient satisfaction, and quicker recoveries with less medication from surgeries and procedures? It's pretty amazing, right? But as I worked there in the summer, I started to see this in action, right? When I was on call, I would go at least one or two times a night and check on the ER and the ICU staffs. When I was on the floor of the ER or in a room because something horrible was happening, I started to figure out what my role was there, right? Because I'm not a doctor, obviously, and I'm not the nurse in the room. I wasn't there to check them in or ask about insurance. My job was just to see the holiness that was going on in this moment of chaos, to see nurses that were busting their tails to take amazing care of patients, even the incredibly difficult ones, to see doctors who would be running from room to room, floor to floor, with a little bit of imposter syndrome, trying to make the best choice possible, to see the transport people rushing up and down the halls to keep up, to see the janitor staff cleaning up the trauma beds that looked like a tornado had come through them, to see families who were scared about what was going to happen, and to see patients, not just as a case, but as a parent, a child, a sibling, and a friend. It was my job as a chaplain to see the holiness that was visible entirely in that hospital, and then to speak God's love and grace and truth and hope to each and every person I came to. I think that is what being in the world but not being of the world means. I think that our call as a Christian community is to be a chaplain to the world, right? We take it all in, and even in the midst of chaos, we are able to see where God is in that moment and then speak that word of love or truth or grace or hope to each and every person. It isn't easy. It is a practice that we can cultivate as a people of God because holiness is visible entirely. Are we looking? Amen.